Amen. Looks like we've had some visitors join with us tonight. Our group is not quite doubled. But how many of you are not normally here in the auditorium on Wednesday evenings? Now, everybody look around. That's our youth group. And yes, Michelle is young enough to be in the youth group. Don't laugh. It's okay. She's short enough to be in the youth group. There we go. Teens, we started a new study. Let's see here. Here's a refreshing question. Who can tell the teens, what is our, on Wednesday nights, we talk about doing what on Thursdays? Being fruitful on Thursdays. Thursday is coming, and God wants us to be fruitful on Thursday just as much as He does on Sunday, just as much as He does on Wednesday night. And so we've been going through a number of character studies throughout the Old Testament. Who would like to tell the teens one of them? You don't even have to go into depth, but maybe one of the names of the individuals we've studied at some point this year. We've had about 6 months of them, yes. Okay, so Joshua, we're dealing with him and how he's been fruitful with the children of Israel in the Promised Land. Okay, so the book of Judges, we looked at a number of different individuals in there. Any specific individuals you remember? Samson, we talked about Samson. I know we talked about Gideon. Okay, so David, man, that was good. We talked about David. I think that was our first lesson we did way back in January. Good job. So the life of David and being fruitful. We looked at Abraham in the book of Genesis and Moses and just some of those other individuals being fruitful. Of course, they didn't worry about being fruitful on Thursday as much as every day, and that's what we have to be. And so teens, that has been our big desire. You know, the adults want to be fruitful on Thursday just as much as you want to be and you need to be. It doesn't change. It shouldn't change when you grow up. It just gets hopefully more passionate about loving God. The older you get, the more passionate you should become about loving God. I'm convinced that our adults should be more on fire for God than our teens and our kids. And man, that excites me as I hear teens, some of our adults say, we don't have to go to church, we get to go to church. We look forward to it. And some of the praises even tonight that we can freely come to church. Teens, don't take it for granted. It is such a blessing to come to the house of the Lord. Last week, we started a book study and a character. The book is Ruth, but we didn't look at her life. We looked at the life of Naomi. And so tonight we'll actually kind of do a whole character study on Naomi. We'll look back a little bit at last week. If you have your Bible, and if you don't, I believe there's one in the pew. The book of Ruth, and that is after the book of Genesis, somewhere, right? Genesis, it's after, what book is it directly after? Because it's in the time period of the Judges. And it's interesting, you see that from the very first verse of Ruth. It kind of gives a hint of its time frame here. But Ruth chapter 1. Now I got to get there. Now it came to pass in the days when the Judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And as we had talked about that, is that recording there, Ashton? Thank you so much. As we had talked about Ruth, really Naomi, and how they had gone, there was famine in the land. During the time period of the Judges, there were a lot of struggles that had happened and gone on and things that were happening. And here we see the reality that it's more than just famine. Here we see that they were discouraged. In fact, when we come to verse 6, we find that Naomi was hopeless. That was the word we talked about last week. How many of you ever feel hopeless in life? Okay, how many of you adults have ever felt hopeless? Okay, teens, I want you to see this because adults are just as real as you. Okay, now adults, put your hands down. How many of you teenagers have ever felt hopeless? Okay, thanks for being honest. I appreciate that. Because, man, it is not fun to be hopeless. What do we do when we're hopeless? Well, I think Naomi had the wise thing that she did there in verse number 6. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. One of the first things, in fact, we're mentioning a bunch of R's here, okay? If you're hopeless, there's some R's that you can remember to help you in your hopelessness. Number one, you need to return. Naomi was returning back to the land where she's from. The land is Israel, the promised land. Granted, there's no king yet. This is before King Saul. But here she's returning back to this land because she heard the Lord had been with them. The Lord had given them food again. She's hopeless because she's lost food. Well, she's hopeless, and we talked about it last week, because her husband died. She's hopeless because her sons, after they got married, they died. And life just was hopeless. And now what is she doing for life? She's just hopeless. How can I go on in life? And sometimes we feel that way. Well, the first thing we need to remember when we are struggling with going on in life. And you know, teens, there's a lot of teens that struggle with that in life. How do I go on? What is the big S word that happens in some teenagers' lives? Suicide. Why? Because they feel hopeless. You don't have to feel hopeless. Adults, we don't have to feel hopeless. Now, there's times and situations that cause us to get there, but that's when we have to return our focus to God and to His people. And that's what Naomi did. There's no hope. Well, she goes back to what she knew there was hope. She knew that God cared. She went back to the land. She went back to the people. And it was interesting to see the people's response. She comes back to Bethlehem and they said, "Oh, this is Naomi." And she says, "Oh, don't call me Naomi. God has dealt bitterly with me." Wow. And so she's seeing that reality. As much as she returned, her thinking still wasn't clear. There are times that we go through life and our thinking is not clear. That is why suicide happens. That is why people turn to alcohol and drugs and some of those other things. Because when life gets tough, what hope do I have? Teens, if the Bible isn't real, you have no hope. But we know the Bible's real, so we have confidence and joy. But that's where the reality comes into. I can have reality that God is real. And Naomi had to return to the Lord. She had to return to the land. She had to return to the people who wanted to do what's right. Did the people of Moab want to please God? Gene? No. They didn't. They were opposed to Jehovah, God. They had their own gods. Now remember Naomi's daughter-in-laws. They were Moabites. They were from families that, man, who knows about God? And you know, the question therein lies, what all happened with Naomi and Elimelech and their boys and their walk with God? Well, I think they got maybe a little cooler, if you will, less passionate about God. They left him and his land. They left the people and they went to this foreign land that didn't want anything to do with God. And they may have thought about God because here she heard the news. There's where we've got to listen to the news. She heard the news that God was good. And she could return. There was hope. So when you get in a hopeless situation, number one, we need to remember to do what? Return. Return to God. Return to God's people. Because God is love. Life might seem hopeless. In fact, from all visible expressions of life, it can look completely hopeless. There is no help. There is no hope. That's why even some prisoners commit suicide, because there is no hope in getting out. Wait a second. But there's hope in God. Got it. There's so many testimonies of prisoners who've gotten saved. We had a prisoner back in our church in Muskegon. He was in prison twice in the state of Ohio. The second time, God really got a hold of his heart, and he got saved. He got out, and he grew, and he just gave his life to the Lord. Today, he's serving. He's traveling our country as an evangelist, preaching in different cities, different churches, and his kids are serving God. His son-in-law pastors down in Manitow, Manitow Beach, and just so neat to see this prisoner who had no hope in life. His muscles were his hope, but then he got himself in trouble. But God became his hope. So let's remember, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, return to God. If you don't, you need to get saved. Teens, you can have hope in God. There is hope. But number two, when we look at hopeless situations and we go through those times, don't simply return, but we need to then regard other people. When we get in hopeless situations, our focus generally draws on who? Ourself. We get very selfish, very self-focused. So here she physically was returning to God and his people, but she had to remember her daughter-in-laws. In fact, she did. She asked them to do what? Go home. Just go away from me. I don't know why exactly all that she was thinking that. One, it probably was, you're going to have a lot better life without me. You hang out with me, everything bad is going to happen to you. Right? She had that hopeless situation. But she sent them back. One went back. Her name was? Starts with an O, right? Orpah. The other followed her. And man, she had a book of the Bible named after her. Why? Because here's this Moabite girl who saw, in a hopeless situation, she saw Naomi turn back to God. And she said, that's a God I can trust. Whoa! Like, that's incredible. In our hopeless situations, when we return to God, we can be a testimony to those around us. So we return. But then we regard. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. They come back. The people had talked with Naomi. And she's like, no, man, God's dealt bitterly with me. Don't call me Naomi. God doesn't even care. Wait a second. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, which was her deceased husband. And his name was Boaz. If you're familiar with this story, you know Boaz is a key player. In a couple weeks, we'll probably look at Boaz's life and some of these truths about him and how we can be fruitful from his perspective in this situation. But being fruitful in a hopeless situation, we return to the Lord, but then we regard others. Look at verse 2. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. She regarded her, one, and she regarded her as her daughter. Yet she still had that great love. But she thought enough about Ruth to not think life is over for you. You're a young lady. You got to keep living. Man, it'd be better for me to die. I mean, didn't Job's wife say that? Curse God and die. Wait a second. God is faithful. We can trust God in hopeless situations. And so here, Naomi, she doesn't simply think about herself. She does think about her daughter-in-law. Calls her daughter here. We won't read down through all of chapter 2, but I want us to go down to verse 19. She gets back from a field where she's gleaning. And teens, if you don't know what gleaning is, it's picking after those who have already picked. So it's kind of like the apple pickers have picked at the apple orchard. The trees are almost empty, but what do you find all over the ground? Apples. Some of them might be rotten that they didn't take. Some of them are seconds, right? Deer apples, other things like that. Man, those are still good. Well, these people were gleaning. Ruth went to glean in the field. Verse 19, she gets back. Her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? She cared enough to ask about her yet. She wasn't so self-focused that, who cares? What'd you get to feed me? And I mean, it wasn't simply about herself. She'd returned to the Lord, but she's regarding her daughter-in-law yet. Blessed, she says, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Then she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And all of a sudden, that was a little bit more joy that Naomi needed. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the who? So remember, she returned to God. But now she's regarding others, and she's respecting others, her daughter-in-law here, but she is rejoicing. So we see in Naomi's life, in a hopeless situation, she returns to the Lord. She regards others as important, not simply herself, but she rejoices with them. She begins to see that God is good. God is good all the time. And sometimes it's hard to see that God is good. But what did she do that was right? She went back so she could see that God was good. When you struggle to see that God is good, make sure you're in the Word of God. Make sure you're around God's people. Church is important. Not because Pastor Josh says we should come to church. We still have it on Wednesday night. Jimmy was thankful tonight. We've got church we can come to in the middle of the week. And I mean, it's not simply because that's what we do. So let's just keep doing it. We can't simply root our lives in tradition. Teens, you don't just come to church because my parents say I should. Or because it's fun. Or it's a good time in the youth group. And I hope it's a good time in the youth group. How many of you teens have fun in the youth group? Michelle, close your eyes just in case they don't all raise their hands. Okay, good. They're all raising their hands there. But as we think through some of those things, man, when life gets hopeless, we return to God. That's where we can see that God is good. So here she's rejoicing with Ruth, with that. Verse 21, and Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, it's not just that, man, he came and she's excited, he's a near kinsman. There's some hope. He might help take care of us. But then verse 21, Ruth said to her, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. So basically, come back every day, I will take care of you. Now remember, what country did they come from, teens? Okay, Moab. They came from Moab. Now Ruth was a Moabitess, if you'll say that. You can say that. Let's all say that together. Ruth was a Moabitess. That didn't mean she bit people, but she was a Moabitess. And so here she's come back. Everybody knows she's not Jewish. It is known in this community. If you read through the book of Ruth, you'll see that. People know she's not Jewish. Many times, Jews didn't like those who weren't Jewish, right? And so here we see the reality of that. Teenagers. Here we see the reality of that. That God loves people who aren't simply Jews. Because they can turn to God too. And God loves people who aren't Christians, because they can turn to Christ too. And so the exciting thing here for Naomi is she saw God work and bringing Ruth to the right place. Was it by accident, or as sometimes people say, was it by coincidence that Ruth happened onto this one place?
I think they had a plan.
Yeah. There was some knowledge there, definitely.
Yes.
Because they knew the whole kinsman aspect. And yet, it's pretty neat to think through. Did Ruth know anybody there? Ruth didn't know that. Now, she was there. We don't know exactly. I mean, this probably wasn't the very next day she got there. But we know that it was in the harvest time that they came there, because verse 22 of chapter 1 said, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of what? Barley harvest. So we know it had to be pretty soon that when they got there, because they needed food. There wasn't welfare. This was the biblical sense of welfare. Because the harvesters were to help take care of those who needed help by letting them glean. Incredible to see some of that. Verse 22, Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest. So man, they finished off the barley harvest. She's there for the wheat harvest. God is taking care of them. God is good, even in the middle of hopeless situations. How can we go on? How can God provide? He can. Teens, you will wonder. Some of you are getting ready for college. God has a plan for your life. And we sang it earlier tonight. Adults, what was that hymn we sang? Okay, so we sang Safe Am I, the chorus verse. Man, we're safe in His hands. We can trust and obey. And teens, when you come to those situations, God is faithful. You can trust and obey. So when you get the middle of a hopeless situation, number one, we need to remember to do what? Return to the Lord. Draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to you, James says. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will lift you up. God cares. Return to Him. You may have some struggles in your life and you say, man, I've just kind of walked away from God, or I'm not as close to God as I should be. God cares. Return to Him. You may not see your way out yet, but you'll have that hope and confidence. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then regard others. Think about others. It's not simply about you. Maybe it's your siblings. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your children, whether they're adult or still living at home. When we think about others, life doesn't seem as hopeless. We get our focus off of us and off of our situation regarding others, but then seeing what God has done. Look at chapter 3. Then Naomi Her mother-in-law said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? She's again regarding her daughter-in-law. It's about her. Man, she really is concerned about Ruth, not simply her own well-being. Remember at first, go home with your family. You've got people who love you and can care for you. But here it's, now, man, you're depending on me, and I'm pointing you to God's care and God's provision for your life. Verse 2, And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Now we know, I mean, interesting, barley and what other harvest did they have? They had the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, okay? So now here we see what kind of harvest is this in the middle of? Verse 2, chapter 3, barley harvest. So here they're in the barley harvest tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore. And it goes on and she's showing her, hey, go unto him and basically, hey, we need help. We need you to redeem us, to buy this property. Because who owned whose land was it before he died? Elimelech. And as Elimelech's land, yes, he moved away, but there was still land in his name and his family, his property and whatnot. And so, again, keeping it amongst the family, there's many different laws about that. And here we are again before the king, before the first king of Israel, but keeping those laws that God had given them. So she goes unto him. Verse number 16, she comes back. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Incredible. As much as Naomi was regarding Ruth, who was showing he cared for Naomi? Boaz was, but who used Boaz? God did. And sometimes in life we wonder, does God even care? One of the songs during a lot of those struggles and when God was closing the door for us in deputation, man, there were nights that Karen and I would just lay in bed listening to music. Hour plus, we'd just sit there. I mean, just this music drawing us back to God. One of the songs was written. And actually, I put together a playlist on YouTube. If any of you are interested in that, I'll send you the link. But of these songs that God just used to encourage our hearts, one of the lyrics, one of the phrases in the song was, My life's out of balance and I'm going to fall. But as we read in the Bible, page after page, basically, God is faithful. And man, so many of those truths. And God is showing Naomi, I love you. You may be old, but I love you. It's not simply for Ruth, but I love you. So when we're hopeless, we return to God and regard others, and God's going to show us he loves us. He will encourage our hearts. That's what he does here in chapter 3. Verse, incredible to think through that. Verse 18, Then she said, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. To buy and redeem the land, he also needed to, if you will, buy or redeem the wife of the dead man, since there was no children that this man left to inherit the land. That's where this marrying her had to come into play. God cared enough about a Moabitess. God cared enough about an old lady named Naomi because she returned to the Lord. What if Naomi had not returned to the Lord? Would this have happened? Of course not, because she wouldn't even be there. But as Abraham's servant said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And here Naomi is returning to God. She's in a hopeless situation. She returns. She regards others. And then she rejoices in what God does. And when our life seems hopeless, we can rejoice. But there's those steps we need to take first. We need to return. We need to regard others. And think about them. And what God's best is for them. chapter 4, Boaz went up, and we'll look at this a little bit more when we look at the life of Boaz, when we look at the life of Ruth. But he goes and he talks to the nearer kinsman and says, hey, you can redeem this land. And he's like, oh, I want it. But you got to redeem Ruth. Oh, I don't want it. He didn't want that and all of the aspects that went with that. And so Boaz said, here I am, God. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Boaz said, here I am, I'll be faithful. And that meant there was blessing in Ruth and Naomi's life. When you're in the middle of a hopeless situation, you can rejoice in what God does as you return to Him and regard others and what God is doing. Verse number 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto who? Verse 14 of chapter 4, the women said unto Naomi, blessed be who? Which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Interesting to think about that. Was this man, this baby, Obed, was this Naomi's biological child? No, it was her biological what? Grandson. And yet, because of her daughter-in-law, no, in one sense, no blood relation by her daughter-in-law, but incredible to see, because she returned to the Lord, she regarded others as important, and God blessed her and turned her life around. When we're in our hopeless situations, we can be fruitful on Thursdays. We can be fruitful on Fridays and Saturday. And we can trust God's amazing plan, even when we don't see it. So, what do we need to do when we're hopeless? Return. Regard others. And then rejoice that God is faithful. Father, we thank you for your love. Pray that you will help us tonight to rejoice in all that you've done. God, I don't know in this room who's hopeless or who seems like they're in a hopeless situation, but you sure do. And I pray that if there's someone tonight who's just discouraged and struggling and they don't know how to go on because life just seems hopeless, help them to return to you and draw nigh. Help them to regard others and watch you work so they can rejoice that God is always good. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.